people are, you know, maybe more articulate about expressing their feelings as to their loss. But one thing is absolutely certain, is that there's something that's indescribable when you lose, you know, if a mother loses their son, you know, to gun violence. One thing that is indescribable. Nobody can articulate exactly what they're feeling. But it's something that we all share in common. When you lose a loved one in a horrifying death like that. And whether this man, whether it be a white man, a brown man, a black man, an American, okay? There's people that are dying right now in the cities as an after effect to this political tug of war. There is a massive struggle right now going on, and I've been likening it to the battle between King Kong and Godzilla. The New World Order will shape up on the other side of this thing, okay? A New World Order will shape up, and I believe the good people will be in charge on the other side of this thing. One of them that has been fighting tooth and nail for years now is going to be one of those people. Her name is Tori, and she's going to be with me right after this. You guys stay right there. Do not go away, everybody. Click that share button like crazy. This is going to be the most important interview ever. Conversation that I'm about to have with somebody who I have to tell this story before I get into the introduction. For those of you that know Tori Morris, and I want to make sure I get the pronunciation correct. I know her as, it was funny because when we were just trying to decide how to script her introduction, Ashley and Deb said, what's her last name? And I said, Says. It's Tori Says. Tori Says is a conservative constitutionalist, a political talk and entertainment program. And that's not her last name. Her name is Tori Morris. But let me tell you this. This is how I came to her. I'm a fan, big fan of Millie Weaver. She's a great investigative journalist. And I try to do my absolute darndest to figure out what the heck's going on my own. And I gather information. But the day that I heard Tori on Millie Weaver's program, when they started getting hacked, Millie was concerned about it. And what Tori said in that interview, I mentioned this in the previous hour, I'm going to say this in the introduction. It was so important that I had passed that particular segment on to an attorney that I just absolutely love and trust. Ed Butowski's attorney, Ty Clevenger, great investigative journalist. There's very, very few that I would ever say that I trust wholeheartedly, and I trust Ty Clevenger. I said, you need to listen to this. So I passed that information along. I didn't even reach out to Tori. I said, she is just sitting on a bombshell, obviously, and I don't need to reach out to her. I'm concerned for her security. I don't need to, you know, to get into her stuff. I just need to learn as much as I can. So I've been a big fan of hers in learning so much from Millie Weaver and herself. She's got her own show, and it's daily. People call into her show. There's expert guests that include, and not limited to, local, national, global authors, journalists, politicians, subject experts. No topic is off limits. Tori is the host of Tori Says. She's also a published author. I'm actually going to introduce her as a citizen journalist extraordinaire. She's a U.S. Navy veteran that runs her own medical research and is a federal contractor as a linguist. Now, that appropriate introduction here, and she's going to be joining me by Zoom, but on audio. Tori, welcome to the show. I got lots of questions for you, but welcome to the Pete Santilli Show. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Pete. You've had some really incredible guests too. I've been trying to get Alex Jones to hang out with me for like forever. So I'm super jelly when you have him.
Alex Jones, I'll tell you, Alex Jones, I'd love to have on the show, but that's a separate topic. I will say
Well, I'll tell you, years, years, years ago, when sand was fiddling around in crevices it shouldn't, people were making fun of me because I was listening to Alex Jones. And they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm listening to him. He's keeping me company. And, you know, they were like, ugh. And I was like, I'd be the best handler he ever had. if I could, that's what I said. So it was like a joke amongst the intelligence community because everybody always wanted to hijack Alex Jones. And it was like, for me, I'd be like, totally his best friend and eliminate all the deep staters because, you know, he's got a lot of sharks circling around him.
Oh, he does. And, you know, I actually just to touch on that, I wanted to, I was subjected to so much COINTELPRO. It was unbelievable. I had literally at one point, because as you know, my legal case, we're not going to spin off on a tangent on that, had over 1,000, this was admitted in open court, over 1,000 online covert investigators. They had pummeled me on the internet with, I mean, they hacked my servers and they put these rumors out to keep people away from me saying that I was an FBI informant. I mean, fortunately, I documented it all. But even Alex Jones got caught up in that whole thing. But I went down there to Austin to meet him. I never ended up meeting him, but because of that interaction, you know, we didn't get a chance to shake hands in person. But I'll tell you what, I've been listening to him for 25 years. I actually... Yeah, 25 years. I've learned so much from that guy. I love Alex Jones. I do.
Man, I'll tell you what. Whenever I'd listen to him, I'd look at someone and be like, "What the? Like, who's talking to him? How does he know all this stuff?" Mm-hmm. You know, from years ago, I was like, "He's not even an insider, and he's got inside info." You know, but right now, it's, you know, I sometimes tweet it out, "Free Alex Jones," because, you know, he's got people that, you know, are very close to him for many years that are not good actors. You know, so
You know, and having he, I think he's assembled a great team. I love Owen Schroyer. I stay as connected as I can to Owen Schroyer. Obviously, Roger Stone, very connected to, and consider myself to be friends with Roger Stone. Millie Weaver has been an extension of that. I've learned so much. She's a great investigative journalist. And now let's segue. If we could, to that moment, that show, that post that she did on her YouTube channel, you guys were conversing back and forth. And if you can just kind of describe, it'll take us right into the conversation we're about to have. But she was concerned. She said, look at, and she went public. She said, we're being hacked. There's some things that are going on here, and this is why. That was probably one of the most important pieces that helped me connect a lot of the dots. But talk about that particular episode and what led up to you guys doing that post and that conversation.
Well, we've been talking for a very long time. Millie Weaver's great. Mm-hmm. Just like I said, Alex Jones is great. Roger Stone, I actually had him on my show too. And I've been working ever since they targeted him to help him and, you know, help him with his appeal and everything. But what we saw was that that they did this whole election hack, and that's how, you know, I know this stuff, how they work. Mm-hmm. And so we started working a little bit more closely together. That's basically it. And, you know, in 2018, well, let's take it back. 2016, with my personal Twitter account, which was Nixed, I was constantly saying, you know, why is nobody talking about Seth Rich? Why is nobody talking about Seth Rich? Mm-hmm. And then I saw this man named Matt Couch, and he started talking about it. I was like, whoa, did my digging. I was like, this is just an average Joe. You know, he sounds great. You know, he looks like he's doing what he needs to be doing. This guy, wow. So I was trying to get his attention, but, you know, his account blew up really quickly. So then I was tweeting him annoying things just because I know what can set someone off. Mm-hmm. I made sure to tweet the right thing, and it did tee him off. And I was like, yo. And we connected in 2017. Mm. And, you know, he was like, I won't give you up as a source. I was like, we're talking. I was thinking to myself, you know, obviously not to say too much. Mm. I was like, well, you know, I knew they were listening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, whatever.
You know what? And please allow me to do this because there's a lot of people you know, they're going to hear this for the first time. All right, let's back up a second, because Matt Couch, great guy. I've already heard about Matt Couch. He's done a lot of great work. Obviously, he's been under attack. But you reached out to Matt Couch because you discovered that he was kind of like over the target about stuff that you knew about Seth Rich. Is that correct?
Well, I was trying to point them in the right direction, but obviously mm-hmm. when they don't know you and you're not a blue check mark,
yes.
you know, people are a little bit, and it's like, all right, well, I'm not steering you wrong. I was trying because they were over the target, and then they'd get people to give them information that was completely wrong. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I can't help. But, you know, they targeted him in a lawsuit because they wanted to find out who he's been talking to. And 3 years later, boom, I'm served. Totally random.
All right.
You know,
here we go. You ready? Let's back up here. When's the first time you heard of the name Seth Rich?
On the day he died.
And you mentioned that on Millie Weaver's, well, and actually, it just blew me away.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that his name on the day he died, mm-hmm. his persona, because those are two different things.
Uh-huh.
I knew about in February of 2016.
You did. Mm-hmm. Whoa! I never knew that. Okay, so on the day that he died, what did you know of Seth Rich on the day that he died?
Well, in a group of nerds, and we change our groups all the time, we kind of just get together in predictive analytics. Let's just say fancy math, okay? And there was noticed a lot of activity, a lot of chatter through the Awan brothers. We had been monitoring them for a while.
Yes.
You know, like what they were doing. And we're not intelligence. We're not working, you know, we're just independent people, kind of diggers, right? Like you guys. Right?
Mm-hmm, right.
No one's picking us. And so one person actually was able to pull the call. He had a call when it happened. And that is what happened. And then, you know, that we put it together that he was the persona that had pretty much taken up the server, that he had imaged the server, and mm-hmm. he was the one that was uploading it, you know, to that secure cloud that they had requested that right. it be put.
Right. So there's a group of patriots, per se, behind the scenes. Seth Rich was a persona at the time, and he was an insider. Now, Imran Awan, here's the critical thing, because, and this is, I've been waiting for this moment to ask you this question because I want to hear it directly from you. I know what Imran Awan had. I know what Noodlehead Debbie Wasserman Schultz was doing with Imran Awan in collecting all of the emails of the Democrats and Republicans in Congress and blackmailing them, or just surveilling them. So Imran Awan, a lot of people don't even know that name, was very, very important. And he, in fact, worked in the same office as Seth Rich, correct?
Okay, so the Awan brothers in general, they were like jacks of all trades, and that's what set the alarms. You know, we were just talking about some event that was supposed to occur outside of Islamabad, and we were like, oh my gosh, you think it's going to happen like this? I don't know. Are they going to deploy an operation? We were just talking current events globally, right? We don't just stick to U.S. politics. And then we noticed that there was something going on, but something was going on, and it went back to Broward County. So, you know, we were like, who's in Broward County that would, you know, whatever. Apparently, so Debbie Wasserman Schultz and them, right? She was kind of the coordinator for them because they were overseeing properties. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they managed like the houses where all the staffers live at, you know, and they pay them peanuts. So they're all like, you know, like Chinese transfer students, you know, that come and there's like 20 people in one room. And so they were, you know, managing those. And that's where, you know, he comes in, because we noticed that the server that was imaged was actually being uploaded to a server that he had access to. So that means that the copying of the server was actually an inside job. And that's normal, because if you want to go in there and change information, you usually stage your own hack and then publicly announce there's a hack. So if you go in there and stuff is replaced or missing, you tidy it up and you fix it up. And this is why, you know, I published that article about the FBI paying CrowdStrike people are like, oh, well, we kind of knew, or someone said something. And I was like, no, not really. The reason is that the FBI had hired them to track her emails down. And obviously there were emails sitting on the servers. So for them to get access without raising flags, they have to stage a pretend hack. And that was the pretend hack.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's basically how it panned out. So we looked at the server, and that took us to a Juan, and a Juan who was being looked at, you know, was in the presence of Seth Rich.
Okay, now I'm going to share something with you that I was hearing back channel through my conversations with Roger Stone. As soon as I came away from my legal case, Roger Stone was advocating for me and asking President Trump to pardon all of us because we were political prisoners. And I immediately got in touch with him. And we just hit it off famously. And we just started reaching millions of people. I said, I want to do whatever I can because they're coming after you too. But he shared with me, as he started to, you know, to trust me a little bit more, he shared something with me. He said, you know, I'm excited to go to court. And by the way, we knew that we were being surveilled, and we were just talking outright to the Mueller team. I was literally texting him, talking to Mueller, Robert Mueller. But Roger Stone, and this is documented. They have this information that I'm about to share with you. He said, there is an insurance policy out there. He said, I'm going to tell you that right now. He said, I know, and I'm going to be able to prove it. I'll have Bill Binney on the stand, so on and so forth. In my trial, I want this stuff to be exposed. But the Russians did not send the information to WikiLeaks. And he said, there is an insurance policy out there. Now, he didn't specifically say that he had access to it, but he told me that he was aware of it. He said, if something ever happens to me, he said, you're going to be on that list of a select few people that are going to receive certain information. And it was like almost said in the same breath as if he had a copy of it. I made an assumption, but I was able to verify that he didn't, but he was aware of it. But he told me about this insurance policy that was out there, that if in fact something happened to Seth Rich, Seth Rich had a backup plan. Can you talk to that and what you know about that?
Look, what I can tell you is that as long as you don't hack anything, right, then you're good to go. You're not breaking any laws, and you're using the internet and or the back internet, whichever way, and you can see things. Now, I know for a fact Roger Stone didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact.
Oh, and I know that now, too, but I made certain assumptions.
Everybody would. And listen, during a campaign period, we want to fluff up, right? We want to look like, you know, we got this. So sometimes when someone, you know, kind of, you know, peacocks, you know, people take it to another level. And Sometimes you got to bluff, right? Yeah. So that way, this is what politics is. So I knew that there were other groups. See, the great thing about patriots that are out there is that every single one of them doesn't know who the other one is. Mm-hmm. That's the key. So where do we go with the FBI, the insurance policy? Well, the insurance policy, I can't talk about that. But
did you say can't talk about that?
Yeah, I shouldn't be able. No. What I can tell you, how's this?
How about if you talk about what you told Millie Weaver on her show?
What, the fact that I had portions of the DNC server when Imran Awan was getting the upload? And remember, to upload an imaged DNC server, right? So you image it on a drive and then you upload it, right? You have to spend days. I mean, that's a lot of data, right?
Right.
Get it up there. So someone in the group had parsed it out to ISOs, kind of like it's as if they were CDs, but they're virtual. Let me just, I'm simplifying it. It's not so. But one thing we did see, and this is what's cool, is that there was software in there that I helped create back in the a while back. Mm-hmm. And it seems that the hardware that was used to actually image the server, like you would do with like a USB key kind of thing, right? But it's not a USB key. You'd probably use like a portable drive, a portable high capacity SD drive that fits into a drive, stuff like that. It had software malware on it, so you can trace it. So that was interesting, because when it came up, we were like, oh my gosh, there's like a track tracer here that, you know, that was being put up there. So someone else was also in on this. and had compromised the actual equipment that was given to Seth Rich to image the server. Remember, Seth Rich didn't image the server because he felt bad. Okay. He was asked, hey, we want you to do this, you know, and you got to keep it quiet, said the FBI, because we're a little bit concerned. So since you have access to the area, we'd like you to monitor this and get it done. It wasn't until after that he was like, wait a minute, wait a minute. And then he got with a guy named Sean Lucas, who was, you know, a reality hacker, great guy, patriot. And, you know, he was like a DJ, you know what I mean? He's the one that served the DNC, you know, the DNC fraud lawsuit.
Yes.
And that was filed by back. Yeah. He was the process server. So he went there and did it.
Right.
So both of them are dead now.
Yes. And he's died. I was just going to say that guy died. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So everyone did. And basically, you know, nobody knows what happened. That's where the WikiLeaks came from, that period of time. I can tell you from February when it was imaged, it was imaged in February. And they didn't say anything because the CrowdStrike had conducted that for the FBI. That's why the FBI had hired them, because they were going to stage the hack, come in and say, oh, it's hacked, you know, and then they would go in there and erase Hillary's emails, and then boom, they're fine. The byproduct was that they were going to blame Russia, right? Because everybody keeps forgetting it wasn't just the DNC. Imran Awan had the RNC server too.
Yes.
So right. I'm like, come on, guys, you know, what is going on here? I look at the media and I look at researchers too, and I'm like, it's like right there. But I had no problem talking about it. I always said I had portions. I had taken down two portions of that DNC server that was parched, two of them.
Okay, let me clarify something here in my own mind, and we're just going to do this right in front of everybody, because I want to hear it from you. So the insurance, what I'm hearing from you is that the FBI helped set up this false flag and using CrowdStrike. But I'm hearing, and I always thought that Seth Rich was disgruntled because he found out that Hillary Clinton was hijacking Bernie Sanders' campaign. So I just had that different impression. Are you saying the FBI led this effort and set Seth Rich up to do what he did?
That's why they knew it was Seth Rich. But here's the thing. He thought he was doing them a favor. Then he found out. Then he was disgruntled. So that's when he was like, oh, I can get some information. And
right.
You know, and that's where it went. And that's where it went pear-shaped. So this is, you know, remember, the FBI paid CrowdStrike 2 days after. They were like, oh, Hillary was just reckless. But if anybody else does it, you're going to jail. You know, and it's like, first of all, why would the FBI director ever make an announcement on 4th of July weekend? Hello. Mm-hmm. Everyone's out drinking and cooking.
Right.
And 2 days later, you release $150,000 payment to CrowdStrike. And CrowdStrike happens to come in and save the RNC and the DNC. Come on.
Yeah.
They fixed it all. And the code was fake, too. Like, if you look at the code where they said, Cozy Bear, this, fancy, that's all fancy talk for software we created back in the early 2000s.
Right.
This is all based off of Stuxnet. And it's like, okay, it was developed to Duke, right? Or Duke. And then they kind of revamped the name to Dukes. And, you know, one thing people need to understand is in the intelligence community, we change names all the time so nobody can pay attention, you know?
Back up a second here. So in February, you're saying that Awan and Seth Rich, and we know that Aaron Rich was involved in this. I do know this. This is what Ty Clevenger has told me, and he's actually put it in his legal documents. But that replication of the server occurred back in February of 2016. Is that correct?
Correct. And the RNC.
And the both of those. Now, that's my next question. The information from the RNC server and the DNC server, what was on there? As far as what you've been able to do?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. There's, you know, obviously emails, but there's PDFs, videos, pictures. And specifically, I know from mounting one of them, I just kind of was curious. There was a special memorandum of understanding that was very interesting with the European Union. So really? There was a lot of stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to get rid of that computer. That computer got hammers, went to the dump on separate occasions. Mm. And, you know, those drives that I was sending off to the Department of Justice, you know, left in two doses when I felt comfortable. Mm. So, you know, is there more of that server? Listen, like I said, there was worm software on the hardware. That's not something that they could expect. And then if everyone reads the testimony from the IT director of the DNC, they'll realize how big of a setup it is. It was just so stupidly set up.
Okay.
Like they hijacked this guy.
So Tori, go along with me here. So you knew of Seth Rich's persona. You have access to this, and you, I don't think you really fully realized with the full magnitude of what you had in February of 2016. And then July of 2016 comes about, and you know of Seth Rich. How did you make? How did you find out about his name? The night that he died. How did you find out his name? How were you connected to that?
Well, we had already seen that the... Okay, so first of all, let's just backtrack. Mm-hmm. I don't think Seth knew that the Awan brothers had that server he was uploading stuff to.
Oh, okay? Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't think he knew. Mm-hmm. Second, the device, like I said, that he had was wormware. So that device itself told us and anybody who planted it in there what other devices accessed it. So by Roger Stone saying there's an insurance policy, he's 100% correct.
Yes.
And it's actually not within the United... I mean, we already have... You know, the president already has it, so whatever. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is that he didn't know what was on it. He didn't know the Awan brothers had it. He didn't know he was giving it to them. He thought he was working with the FBI. And, you know, it's a whole mess.
Right. It's a mess.
We found out from the Awan brothers, because the Awan brothers were linked to the server linked to the upload where the server was going. Mm-hmm. So that's how we linked it back to Sean Lucas, because that's someone that they were looking at. And I don't know why. And, you know, it's, you know, and then that's how we got to Seth Rich. And then he came up dead, and so did Sean. And we're like, whoa.
Yeah now, hold on a second. Now, you're a citizen journalist. You're digging into this, and, you know, we're all a bunch of nerds, and we're digging into stuff as we always do, right? And then all of a sudden, he dies. Did it just freak you out and say, whoa, what do we have here?
Well, it was after his death that we confirmed that he was the persona.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's when Sean Lucas started to panic. He totally freaked out.
Okay.
And, you know, they traced back the wormware to Sean Lucas. And that's what happened, because the device was compromised. So I wasn't there to see where Seth was plugging it in. Right. Mm-hmm. That's not my job. All I know is that, whoa, we're getting an upload mass. I'm going to be starting and parsing it, says someone. Everybody grab partitions. Let's see what it's like. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And that's what we did. And that one came from the Awan brothers. So, you know, that's why Debbie Washington was freaking out, because the way they trapped him to get it done was through a party at a house, obviously, that Awan was at, because he ran the properties. That was his job.
Wow.
That was one of his jobs, to manage all the properties that the DNC had.
So, Tori, the... And thank you very much for allowing me to just kind of interject here, because I've had, you know, I'm just trying to just piece everything together, just trying to connect all these dots. There's just so much information. It's hard to assemble it all. When did you realize at a certain point? So Seth Rich dies, and there's a narrative and a story out there that, you know, maybe he could have been shot by somebody, and then, you know, and it was an accidental death. But then the WikiLeaks release. When did you start piecing that together, that the Russians, in fact, didn't hack the DNC and provide that information to WikiLeaks? When did you discover that that just wasn't true?
Well, we already knew that from the code that they were claiming. Oh, Cozy Bear, Fancy Bear, first of all, Guccifer 2.0. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Like, Guccifer doesn't even exist. There is no such thing as Guccifer. Brennan made that up. so that way he could start investigating Congress. Like, that is a made up persona. It's fake. It's completely fake. That's why he started freaking spying on Congress, because somebody got tipped off in Congress for Hillary and Benghazi. So he made up this Guccifer thing, you know, circular reporting. Who was it? Was it Yahoo? Oh, gosh darn it. Oh, my gosh.
Isikoff. Yeah.
Someone wrote an article back in 2013.
Isikoff on Yahoo. Yep.
Yeah, and they leaked Hillary Clinton's emails. Oh, my gosh, she was hacked again, right? Whatever. And then Brennan had just been sworn in, so he was like, oh, Guccifer did it. I found it. And it's like, Guccifer is something you've made up. There is no. And with that, he was able to spy on Congress. This is why Congress was so pissed. And they were like, why are you spying on us? You're spying on everyone. Nobody can say secrets. There's no whistleblowing. You know, nobody could do anything. How are they going to whistleblow if you're looking at everything? And he was just sitting there like shrugging.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Just take a short break. Is that okay? Can I take a break? I have to, yes. And then we'll come back. We're gonna, on the other side of this break, we're going to fast forward to what we know now. Everything you're saying is absolutely true, because CrowdStrike said that there was no Russian hack, period. State Radio is where you can find her show. And after my show in the morning, Deb and I sit down, we have lunch, and we listen to Tori. Okay? So, and of course, we got Alex Jones playing in the background, but those are my two sources right now of information. So I thank you very much for the amount of information that you put out each and every day, Tori, and thank you so much for coming on with me. Now I'm gonna ask you. I said on the other side of the break, I wanna talk about. Let's do this. I'm gonna have you lay it out here in the next 25 minutes or so we can put together a nice segment. You published a report that said that CrowdStrike, and this is what we know now, so we're fast forwarding to what we now know for certain, is that CrowdStrike has admitted, and Grinnell released the documents, he declassified the testimony to the House Permanent Select Committee. They said
with sexy satchel, right?
Yes, with the sexy satchel. That's right. That's right. And he and the CrowdStrike CEO said we had no evidence whatsoever that Russia hacked into the. Now, how that never made it to the evening news 24/7 since that was released is beyond me. But essentially, the entire Mueller report was canceled out, was it not?
Yeah, so the Mueller report was just a paper shredding event, okay? Let's just be straight. And they wanted a hot box, anybody around President Trump, you know, Roger Stone, Manafort, they've been with President Trump for decades. Okay. That's all they wanted to do. And I was so happy. You know, I stayed away from Roger Stone up until it was coming down, and I had him on my show and I told him, you're not going to see one day in jail and you're going to be the reason why we blow the judicial arm up. You know, he kind of like laughed at like, okay, you know, but it's like, man, I've been working extra hard to show just how they fix everything. You know, I had Matt Whitaker on my show. He got very, very uncomfortable when I asked him, hey, so you were acting attorney general, right? And yeah,
you had Matt Whitaker on the show?
Yeah, I did. And wow. and you know, I love him. Mm-hmm. But he got really uncomfortable at the end, because I was like, so were you in charge of like all of these Department of Justice contracts? He was like, no, it was this guy named Loeffner. And I was like, thanks. So he's a career. And I'm like, thanks. So now we know, you know, who. So what happened was I asked him about this big fat $40 million contract that we gave to a company called CGI that, you know, I said to him, hey, so, you know, because, yeah, it was really weird. We paid $40 million to a Canadian intelligence company to provide facilities, you know, and you know, hands to the Mueller investigation. Sounds like a lot of Canadian paper shredding to me. And he was like, you know, he didn't know what to say, because that's exactly what the Mueller investigation was. Paper shredding, covering, 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 covering. That's all they did. This is how they knew to have a lawn chair and sit outside to see Roger Roger Stone get raided? Like, that happened under your watch. You know, who did it? The Canadians leaked it again. You know, that was it. I'm pretty easygoing. I've had people on my show that are not very nicely people and totally treated them with utmost respect, obviously asking them questions because I'm not worried about. And people always say, what do you want to talk about? Can I ask you anything? If I can't answer it, I'll tell you. But yeah, that's basically what Mueller was. It was BS. How's this? So people can understand how it happened. They have to understand that it all started with the tip off in 2012 to Congress about Hillary Clinton's email server. Now, how did that tip off happen? Well, Benghazi happened. That's what happened. So Congress knew about it. And then Hillary Clinton found out a couple months later from snakes within our government that they knew about it. So she changed her email server to a Google one, which, by the way, you know, Comey said she didn't have, yet she did. And even CNN on their website, if you go to the CNN Hillary email timeline, it freaking says it right there. So it's like, whatever. So what happened is they have been ever since then trying to cover it up because they knew some people had information and those some people are still unknown to them. So right now, you know, they're concerned, you know, because it is a concern. Think about it, right? National security. If you've got people somewhere that can access her out of all people on the planet stuff, you know, even though they're careless because they're so obnoxious and arrogant that, you know, they run things. But think about it. They would consider that a national security threat. Mm-hmm. But if it was a national security threat, then you'd see other crazy things happen. So it's not that. But anyway, moving along, they've been trying to cover up. And fast forward, now we go to 2015. Right. This is where all the stuff happened. This is where it started. We're talking first quarter, second quarter, 2015. We have Hillary Clinton being presented with, hey, you didn't answer, you know, Congress's emails, man. They asked you about your private emails and you didn't answer that email. You need to answer. Right. And she's like, whatever. Do I have to answer? And she had to. It went to court. She was being pushed. Mm-hmm. You got to answer the questions. You got to talk. You got to tell us what's happening. So now here's where it starts to go crazy. So the judge is like, you got to give us your emails. Boom. The IG, the most corrupt IG of the State Department, Linick. What a clown. I have been tweeting like forever. Why is he said there's so many people that are still there that I'm like, why are they still there? But he was a clown. And I was like, dude, he has like a secret server. And I know a lot of people that, you know, work within the intelligence community think they know intelligence. They don't know diddly squat. Okay. None of these clowns down in DC know what the heck they're doing. Okay. There are very few. Everyone's super above board. So they only see whatever they're allowed to see. So here we are. I'm like, he has a secret server. He's going to be hiding her emails, all this stuff. And guess what? He goes to the Appropriation Committee and says, hi, you know, because of all these cyber hacks, I totally need some money right now to make my own secret server. And it's like, oh, what's the timing of that now that Hillary Clinton has to go to court? And so that happens. And he sets it up, a separate State Department server just for the IG, a secret one that nobody, not even the Secretary of State, can access. And it's like, what? So then Hillary's told, yeah, you're going to give him. And the IG's like, yeah, so we're going to give it to you slowly over time. Why slowly? Just give it to me. But the judge was like, sure, why not? Because all of them are corrupt in DC. Every single one of them. They shouldn't even have a bench under their butt. Never. So, you know, that happened. So then the FBI comes in. So in July 2015, after they released the first batches of email, they realized that as they were garnering all her emails from the State Department and whatever was from her personal one, they were like, holy crap, all of this stuff is linking back to other emails and forwarded emails and, you know, like trail, right? Because you can trace an email where it bounces. So the FBI is like, hey, CrowdStrike, come here. We need to follow all these emails. Can you help us? And that's what happened. So they got hired. And that's where it started. So now we fast forward to September. Hillary Clinton's still going through things. President Trump's making sure everybody knows about her emails, right?
Right.
You know, she's apologizing. Oh, I didn't send anything. It was just yoga. Right. Whatever. I've seen, you know, two of those
when
documents.
I'm sorry to interrupt. When do you think President Trump found out that WikiLeaks did not get hacked by the WikiLeaks did not hack the DNC. When do you think he found that out? There was enough information out there.
The day he was inaugurated.
Really?
I have to. Yeah, we're just going to say yep that day.
Wow.
Because when he would be legally briefed. So, okay. So then we go fast forward, right? 2015. So we have an FBI agent who I sent you that transcript, whose name is redacted, by the way. So we can all kind of speculate which FBI agent was in all those investigations, right? And so this FBI agent starts grooming the IT director of the DNC, this guy named Yared Tamin Wolde Yohannes. And there's his transcript is public. It's online. You can see it. And in there, it's like he gets a call from the FBI. Get this. It goes to the general switchboard, right? Then they pass it on, and he gets it. And then the guy's like, listen, man, here's what. So I think that you have like your system is hacked and people are paying attention to what you're doing. So none of this. You're not going to document any of these calls. You're not going to document any information because I think we have people that have hacked the DNC. And so the IT director's like, oh, no. So he never documented any of the calls. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
So that was number one. So if you read the transcript, the guy tells you this. It looks like something like he's so dumb. He's so dumb. How is he the IT director? I feel bad for him if he was legit. But anyway, this FBI agent kept calling him like, you know, a couple times a month, right? Hey, so did you see this? You're going to have to look for this and that. And he was looking and he couldn't find anything this dude was saying, right? So then as they were conversing, he was like, yeah, you know, obviously, you know who asked. Oh, did he tell you that it was Russians hacking? And yeah, he mentioned Russia at some point like November, December to this guy that, hey, I think Russians. But he didn't say state sponsored. He just said Russians, right? So they kept going on like this, back and forth. And so they met twice in February, once by himself with the FBI agent and then another time with another FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy turns up and he's like giving him torn pieces of paper. Let me read this out so you guys listen to how bizarre this sounds. He goes, however, once we met in person in February, one of the things he did was provide us with 4 or 5 sheets of paper that were cut, you know, a regular 8x1/2, 11 sheet paper that was cut into pieces. So 4 or 5 strips stapled together. And there we were, one line or 2 lines per page were timestamps of the kind of activity he had mentioned in September, the redacted. Now the IP address, the actual web address was redacted. The only thing that was present was the redacted and timestamp. And so this guy goes on to say they were giving him nothing and they were like, trust us. Yeah, this is totally Russian. This is a hack. You need to look for this. The guy's looking and he's not seeing anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is when they entered the territory, the FBI agents. This is where they met with the people. McCain had already contacted his own person in the RNC to get it. I mean, it could have been even Rana herself. Whatever. I don't even want to get into that one.
Mm-hmm.
But so here they are imaging these, right? They're imaging the servers so they can make it look like a hack. So fast forward, right? This guy's still being groomed. He's still looking for stuff. And in his testimony, he's like, I didn't see anything that they were telling me, you know? And suddenly in March, we have Sussman, pay attention, the same FBI agent that met with this DNC IT guy, Hillary Clinton, Cheryl Mills, all these people talking together,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're like, okay, so this happened. But that's when they realized that there was malware on the device that they had tasked people to copy the servers on. So I'll explain that to you. Mm-hmm. Say you have a USB key, right?
Mm-hmm.
The USB key has software to be recognized by your computer that says, hey, I'm a USB key. You can open me up and drop files, right?
Right.
Well, there's software that was created by us back in the early 2000s where we used it to insert malware into uranium plants in Iran. It's called Stuxnet.
Yep, yeah. Stuxnet.
And
right.
remember, there was a general that went down for this, right? He was going to jail,
right?
For telling them because it was a crime. Anyway, so it's kind of like that. So it gets in and it just takes information, whatever it's tasked to do. They realized that after it was uploaded by Seth Rich and McCain's operative, that there was this software on it. And they were like, oh no. And it's like, where'd we get the thing? Where'd we get the drives from? The FBI. So obviously someone on the inside hijacked their own devices. Or it could have been the Chinese. People say, you know, you hear the president constantly saying, you know, China, we can't use their equipment because when you get the phone here, it could have hacking software in it. You've heard him say it.
Yes.
That's what he's referring to. So, boom, they realize they're hijacked and they're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Well, we don't know who has it. We're still tracking it down. CrowdStrike is all over it. We were going to go with this hack anyway. We'll just blame Russia. And they're like, well, how can we use this to our advantage? What if somebody leaks? We don't know who has it. We don't know where it went. And so this is where they're like, it doesn't matter. We've got FISA warrants, you know, ready to go on, you know, all these. There's tons of FISA warrants out. Okay. Right. You only know about a few. I mean, there were even on Cruz and loser Kasich, everybody. Well, not really on Kasich, but whatever. For sure. I can't say the names. But there's tons of them. So they were like, okay, we'll just have it. And if anything comes out, we're going to say that that person colluded with the Russians and we're going to get them and we're going to kill it. And the media is on our side. Nothing's going to be out. So there's DNC, you know, already primed and ready. And then, you know, the FBI comes back and says, okay, now we're submitting like a formal request. You need to give us logs and stuff. Hiatus, just so we remember. This is how you know it's a setup. So the FBI is grooming the DNC IT director, right? And suddenly, in December of 2015, they finally get approved to change their firewall stuff. So all the logs and all that stuff that they had disappeared. So there was no way for anyone to trace anything. So bizarre. Anyway, so now we're in April. CrowdStrike is already at the DNC, right? Mm-hmm. Working for the FBI. But now they're also under the guise of hired by the DNC. And you know who answered the FBI's paperwork when it came to the DNC? Sussman. The same guy that was in the meeting with Peter Strzok and Hillary Clinton and everyone. So, boom. Now we have CrowdStrike with two different contracts in the same place. The one is to make it look like a hack. And the other one is to figure out who, what, when, where, who uploaded what, still following breadcrumbs.
They
were
double dipping? CrowdStrike?
Yes.
Oh, yes, my goodness.
That's what the ones that were there for the FBI and then the other one that was there from the DNC, right?
Oh, so, no kidding. Boom. Right.
Yeah. And that's
why this revelation, sorry, sometimes I'm dumb as a box of paperclips. That's why it's important to recognize that the documentation and this recent report that you did, that the FBI paid CrowdStrike for a separate function, because that illustrates that they were essentially double dipping, working for the DNC and working for the FBI, correct?
Correct. Wow. Which is a conflict of interest in the first place, right?
Yes, it is.
Yep. Right? So here's where it goes to the end of April. And in the transcript of this testimony of this guy, he's like, so we started like to collect all the stuff that the FBI wanted and we were going to upload it. And it would take a few days because it was like so big, all the files they wanted. And you know what happens when you're uploading stuff? Someone's constantly monitoring. So there's no delay, no lag, especially if you're sending it to like authorities, right? You're round the clock, right? Monitoring stuff. So they knew that they were paying attention. And oh, how coincidental. The guy was like, so as we were uploading all this stuff, suddenly we saw all the hacking he was telling me about in September. So while they were uploading, he was able to see that someone was logging in anonymously, you know, and deleting emails and getting into emails, because this was all about emails. He even says it in his thing. It's embedded in my article for the full transcript. I encourage someone to get a glass of scotch, coffee, cigarettes, whatever your vice is, and just read that like a story, and you're gonna be like, oh my gosh, they totally played this dude like a fiddle. Like, I don't know why anybody else can't see it. So that's basically what happened. So the FBI got that done, and then CrowdStrike came in to make it look Russian. They used Chinese code where you can actually seam on and make it look like Russian code, and they were giving freaking stories like Cozy Bear, Fancy Bear, and those are all personas. They're not even real.
Right.
They're just spinoffs of software we made. So they're upset that other people and other nations have used the same software we have. Because come on, be honest, everyone's so secretive. There's zero transparency that almost every single nation is paranoid, right? That is not on the globalist team, huh? Not, you know, China is the globalist team. Let's get that straight.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
China is a globalist team. They don't hack us because they're, you know, now they're hacking us because they're a globalist team.
Right? So, Tori, I'm going to ask you a question that's, you know, it's kind of like restating the obvious, but I want to hear it in your own words, per your analysis. All this stuff's going on. They're covering stuff up, but Hillary Clinton was supposed to be president. So all of the shenanigans that were going on prior to the election, they never thought this information would ever come out anyway. So they could do all this stuff. And you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to turn that down. We're just going to go right over the top, okay, if you don't mind. You're going to stay with me?
Yeah, why not?
We're going to do that. I'm going to go commercial uninterrupted here over the top of the hour. But they essentially thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the president. So they never thought this stuff would get out, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
She was supposed to take it home, baby. She was supposed to take the North American Union home. Mm. Right now, all of us would be gone in gulags. all of us.
Especially me. I mean, on election night, you know where I was, right? I mean, I have to mention this. On election night, I'm literally in blue scrubs in a box and praying like crazy that President Trump would win. I think 7 p.m. on election night, you know, all of, you know, my fellow co-defendants, we said, if Hillary Clinton's president, we're going to Gitmo. I mean, we're done. And I said, we're going to be prepareful, and he's going to win, and we're going to be okay. And that actually happened. So here we are, Tori. Continue on with your thread here. So the FBI initiated this thing. CrowdStrike is double dipping.
And then they come out and say it wasn't Russian. Yet if you read the transcript, the guy tells you he was told that they were Russian.
Okay, so they're trying to paint this Russian narrative. And then obviously a lot of people compartmentalized. Who do you think are the people that were driving the things as far as household names right now that you know they're going to be indicted for conspiracy to overthrow the United States of America?
I'm going to tell you straight. The two people that you are definitely going to see perp no matter what is Clapper and Brennan. 100%. You might even see me one day, you know, pointing fingers in public, and I'll be wearing a GoPro cam myself on my head when that happens. And I testify in public because I should tell them everything he did, everything that he's been doing, because it's not a crime to tell, you know, it is a crime if I reveal, you know, yeah, I don't reveal things that I'm not supposed to that can cause us harm as a nation.
Sure.
But what he's done is just unacceptable. It's criminal. It's, you know, it's horrible. They just think that they're above the law. No one is above the law. Well, they are for the past 200 years.
You believe you'll be called to testify just outside of what you know about the replication of the server and where that server you think you'd be called to testify?
Oh, no, outside? No, not that. It's about the hijacking of the NSA and our data and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the pooling, you know, everyone's like Five Eyes, Nine Eyes. Man, you have no idea. This is all privatized. They auction off your information and everything to the highest bidder. It is way more deeper than anything. And when people say President Trump's not getting anything done, you say, man, obviously you do not understand the gravity of the situation.
How big this is. I keep saying this story, and I want everybody to hear this from you, that even if you think, and I've been very critical of Ray as well, but even if you think Ray's dirty or someone else is dirty, why haven't they fired him? I'm not going to pick on Ray right now. We'll set Ray aside.
Well, no, let me tell you something about Ray.
Yeah, please.
Listen. I was explaining this to my listeners today. There's different types of operatives that you send during missions. And Ray is what one would call a doomed covert asset, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that, you know, we send in, you know, to get caught by the bad people or that mingle with the bad people. It's kind of like a double agent, but not really.
Sure.
And we feed them BS information.
Right.
Give them. So you got to trust that they're there. It isn't until they realize that they've been duped and we've been feeding them the wrong. Like, you know, if you want to find a leaker, you distribute, you know, a document where one font is just a hint lighter, a hint darker, something. Right. Something that you'll miss.
Right. A marker.
And that's what happened to Ray. Mm-hmm. So, okay. This is why we should always trust. You always need one aunt
but ultimately,
to follow it back to the hormonal.
The number of people that are involved in the deep state in perpetrating this conspiracy to overthrow the United States of America, you have to, you know, because if they arrested Hillary Clinton and James Comey and John Brennan on day one, you wouldn't have all the people that were working for them. So you need time to listen, to read their emails, to track them, to go into these chat rooms where they communicate secretly and figure out what they're planning to do next. It's kind of like a narcotics, you know, investigation. You don't arrest the guy that's on the street dealing heroin. You track him back and you infiltrate and go all the way up to El Chapo. Correct? It takes time to do that. That's my assessment as to why they've been going for so long. As this has been part of the world's largest investigation. Correct?
Well, this isn't just, yeah, it is. And the best analogy to use is when you pull weeds out of your garden, you don't just yank it. You got to get down to the roots. And I'm going to tell you, you think Spygate, Obamagate, Russiagate, Ukrainegate, all that is big. You have no idea how big SCOTUS gate is, because none of those gates can happen without the judicial arm. And, you know, I know, maybe this brings some comfort to Roger Stone knowing this, but he's going to help break that wide open. And SCOTUS gate has a lot of different aspects to it. So, Ukraine, I just wanted to say, just so you guys know, right? So CrowdStrike was involved in this, right?
Yes.
Double dipping. So the one task was grab a copy of the server. Let's see what we need to rectify to make it look seamless. And then say that's the server by deleting Hillary's information and other compromising stuff. And then we're going to go in and make it look like a Russian hack and remove some files or corrupt them or whatever. Right. So the two sides of it. But guess where they did all this work?
In the Ukraine.
Yeah, there you go.
No
kidding.
They have
to send it offshore so nobody's paying attention. Because what if someone in the NSA picked it up and squealed? You know, that would be a problem. But the thing is, so many people already have that server. So it's like, so we already have everything we need.
Okay. Let me interject real quick. Okay. So you just stated something. I want all of our listeners to hear this right now. That replication, the mirroring of the server that we'll call it the insurance policy, that was on the flash drives, or that's been distributed and offshored. You know for a fact that was turned over to Whitaker and Barr and Durham ultimately?
No, I don't know if they got it.
Okay.
See, we have a problem with Ukraine, okay? And that's something that I've been talking about. The IG right now of the NSA was the one that created the National Anti-Corruption Bureau of the Ukraine. That's number one.
Right.
His name is Robert Storch. And he is now the IG of the NSA. Now, when they got caught spying on Trump and everyone by Judge Collier, they all were bent over her knee and she spanked them like, "You idiots, we're going to get caught." You know, they kept doing violations of 702s. Yet this same stupid, let me not use really bad language of a judge, you know, a couple weeks later signed off on a FISA warrant, FISA warrants, based on the things she spanked them with just a couple weeks ago, which was like, whatever. And I was down there. I got all that information. I knew that they were having a FISA session from one of the staffers of McCain. That's how I knew that Harry Reid, stupid TheraBand loser, who was actually the guy that got caught with prostitutes pissing on his bed in Nevada, you know, he's the one that was talking with Mother Jones about the dossier. But anyway, when they got spanked, Carlin resigned. And so Obama, at the end of right after he resigned, he announced, "Oh, from now on, the president's going to appoint the IG of the NSA." And it's like, what? And then November 30th, during transition period, that's after President Trump got elected, he was like, I nominate Roger Storch to be the IG of the NSA. Now, that wasn't actually done under McCain's Senate or anything. So they didn't even hear it. And that went buried far, far away. And fast forward to President Trump, you know, becoming president, boom, you know, how can I hear sirens 17 floors up? Seriously? That's crazy. So fast forward, President Trump is being told, yeah, you should nominate him for IG of the NSA. And it's like, are you insane? His wife is out in Ukraine training people how to investigate people. If you want to know how they investigated and were spying on journalists, we should ask the IG of the NSA's wife. Who is in Ukraine training them, you know? And so this is where we have a problem. We've got this big elephant sitting on top of it, and he's still sitting there. He's still there.
Tori, here's how we're going to, I mean, it's very obvious. And if you'd be willing to, as this stuff starts to unravel here, you've got so much information. I'm going to invite you back on. Let me lead us to conclude however we can. This is such a massive thing. The Ukraine, I was studying the Ukraine and consider myself to be a huge expert on the Ukraine dating all the way back to 2013, 2014, the overthrow. I knew and found out that Eric Ciaramella was sitting right next to Victoria Nuland. I knew what they were doing in the Ukraine when they overthrew it. So I've been studying this for a while. But Ukraine
Victoria
is a separate...
in so much trouble. She's so in trouble.
Victoria Nuland, absolutely. But Ukraine itself is a separate huge animal. Hundreds of millions of dollars being laundered through there. You know, Joe Biden implicated in all that. So that alone, that's a completely separate issue. Now we're dealing with, especially with Ghislaine Maxwell and Promise Software, the Maxwell, you know, intelligence crime family. There's some implications going on there. You wrap that into all the intel services being compromised by the Epstein, you know, debacle, that Robert Maxwell network. That's a separate animal in and of itself. Then with the overthrow of the president of the United States of America, this investigation that's going on right now is so massive. They've literally had to take, what, the past 3 years to dig into this thing, listen, and to do what? Where do you think this thing is? Do you know? Tell us. Give us some sense of hope, because it's so massive to unravel this thing. I don't even know how they're able to do it.
So which part? What do you want? Do you want to know the end game? I mean,
I want to hear from you. I'm going to throw back to you. It's just so massive. I'm an outsider. I'm taking a look at it. The only reason why I'm so patient, everyone's like, when are they going to arrest people? I'm like, there's so many people to freaking arrest just with the Ukraine alone. Then you consider the Epstein debacle and the compromising of all the intel services. So those things are super, super huge. And now we're contending with Spygate. How is this thing going to come to a close? What are they going to do?
SCOTUSgate. That's what we need to do.
Really?
SCOTUSgate is going to help on that. But the first things, so that has to happen. But I want to tell you two things. So, you know, back Ukraine 2013, 2014, you know that New York and California sent operatives to start that war, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
that was a military operation. There weren't Ukrainians fighting against each other. They were just being told to pick a side.
I have the videos in my archives of guys dressed up as Ukrainian soldiers speaking with a New York accent, you know, and then also the recorded conversations of the ambassadors of the EU Union saying that people were firing at both sides of the, you know, both the police and the protesters. Absolutely.
No, it was just us. We had wrote a lot of legislation in 2014, gave them a bunch of money. We went to help their elections so we can guide them into safe elections. We gave them, I think they're still there, 125 permanent employees. I mean, listen, bottom line is this is the most incredible task that the president has taken on. And that is to bring forth transparency. And what people need to understand that this is way bigger. People were like, Epstein. And it's like, dude, I've been following Epstein. Like, I've got stuff you've never even heard of. You know, I've been, I dropped an article on Epstein a couple years ago on my website. And that article has been used to write everybody else's articles with pictures of him with Eric Schmidt, having the Nickelodeon people in his Lolita jet, the whole nine yards. You know, Epstein was low hanging fruit. I was looking at him into crimes against humanity, not so much the pedophilia, but the actual using humans for experiments. That's what his job was sourcing. This is why he was friends with Bill Gates, to actually provide bodies to be able to conduct medical research. So, you know, people don't seem to understand just how big this is, how massive it is, and what a big task the president is up against. We're talking Obamagate, Obama. You know, they're so cocky because they think they can get away with it. But every single book written through the history of time, who wins in the end?
God wins.
And the good people always, right?
That's right.
So why do they think they're going to rewrite the books? They can't. So, you know, Brennan is in a lot of trouble. He is in a lot of trouble because they're throwing him under the bus faster than anything, because he was a, what did they say? China ho, right? That's him. That's him. He was, to me, he was actually quite nice. Because obviously I did my job really well, and they molded me from a young age, and I was spunky and, you know, and funny.
Did you work for Brennan?
He was my top. Yeah.
Oh, I freaking knew it.
I've said it before. He was my job, literally.
Yeah. Wow.
He's dumb. He was good at maneuvering relationships, and he was conniving, and, you know, he was the type of person that is really good at scheming, and he never knew how to do something. He would just always know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone that can get it done. But, you know, he actually, and all of them, make you believe that you're doing something for the greater good. Wait till you hear who wrote the New York Times anonymous op-ed. I was sending it in like late Easter cards. That's how I was labeling them. Happy late Easter, Mr. President. These are the people responsible for the New York op-ed. You know, when you hear it, you're going to see just how bad it is. And I say all the time, in order to see how sick this is.
Can you tell me who it was?
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm going
to
let the president.
I'm just checking. I have to do my duty here, just in case you have any breaking news here on the Pete Santilli show. Obviously, you're going to break it on your own show when it does come out. But
I'm going to let the president break it.
Yeah, there you go.
They're going to have to figure out how to tell the people, because it's that bad.
So Tori, there are people that are saying, well, nobody's going to be held accountable. Nobody's going to be held accountable, and I say, there's 100% chance that they're going to be held accountable. It's just a matter of time. Because he could be dirty. Barr could be dirty. But there's enough information out there where they have an obligation to prosecute based on the crimes that we know about, thanks to Grinnell, by declassifying all this stuff.
Well, okay. So I just wanted to say, if you guys think nothing's happening, how do I hear sirens from the 17th floor? Seriously. I'm like really high up. Seriously. That's scary. So imagine how loud they are. So what we need to understand is what we saw with Operation Legend. Now, they're telling you that they arrested 200 people in Missouri, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any reports of any of those 200 people that were arrested?
Mm-mm. No.
So this is how you unseal indictments very quickly. Mm-hmm. And there have been an immense amount of them. And they are all going down. This is why they're terrified. This is why Lightfoot was like, you're not coming into. And that's why I tweeted out, Oprah, we're coming, you know, because this is how you get in. Antifa, we should all be saying, thank you, Antifa. Thank you. because you caused trouble. Now we have an excuse to go, and we're picking you off the grid. And that is how it happens for the indictments, for everything. So, you know, they've all been funded by foreign sources. They gave us the excuse. So now all these dildo waivers can, you know, can be, we can thank them for all they've done for us, because they've allowed us to use that as a guise to go in and collect all these people.
And I said that earlier. I don't know if you listened in on what I was saying, but with the launching of this operation to deploy, because they can even use military police who were working for the military one time and say, okay, we're going to decommission you as, you know, as a military officer, and you're going to be working for the Department of Homeland Security. This is the advance team to set up our infrastructure to effect these arrests. That's my opinion, and it's a pretty well-informed opinion.
I mean, you could see it. Yes. Look, before they deployed Operation Legend in Albuquerque and in Kansas City and in Chicago, there have been, you know, local rockings of RICOs, right? Rico Suave, as I always said on my show. That's so you're seeing mayors, you're seeing council members, you're seeing all these little pockets of, you know, conspiring to steal money from the people, you know, corruption, right? And then suddenly they're spreading out there. And I'm like, whoa, like Ohio. Did you see Toledo a couple weeks ago? They came in, mayor screwed. And now we've got the guy that was on the Lincoln Project, the Speaker of the House, for $60 million in conspiracy. You think the wine's not involved at all? You think all these idiots aren't? It's going to go chick, chick, chick back. This is the bottom that you're just seeing that it's rocking. Operation Legend will then expand to like Columbus and Cleveland. Marsha Fudge should be very concerned. That's why I said the Hirono should be concerned. Hawaii got super rocked. She got rocked like nobody's business. You know, down in Hawaii, she was so rocked. That was so much fun to watch.
Hawaii is so corrupt. We know that dating all the way back to the Obama days, obviously. So CIA infested. All right. So you're saying, I'm just going to just clarify this here. Yeah, stay with me for like 15 more minutes and we should be fine. But obviously this is just part one. Okay. I want to invite you to come back on based on your schedule. Obviously we're tuning in to your show on a regular basis as you cover this stuff. But, we will, do you think we'll see, in Durham's report / indictments, you think some big heads will roll before the election?
Well, they're all starting to talk about how they're getting sick. And I'm getting really pissed off seeing that, because I really wanted to recreate the scene from Game of Thrones with bells screaming, shame, shame. So, you know, Hillary Clinton better not be getting ideas getting COVID anytime soon. I want to see her squirm and say, what difference does it make? And from afar, of course, because she stinks.
So do you think we'll see major indictments? Is it going to impact the election? Will we even have an election, do you think?
Well, okay. So when you have a government, right, you have your peripherals, which are your cities, and then your, you know, your city mayors, and then your state senators, house, local house, right, governors, and then your elected, you know, state, Senate, and Congress. Look at where we just started. We're at the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. We're gutting it from the bottom. You're going to see everything, but everything, just, this is something I told my listeners too, when they knew that I told them in May, and I'm going to tell your audience too, that up until the 20th of July, it's going to be insane. We're going to be on fire. They're going to be torching things, bleaching things, breaking things. After the 20th, as of the 21st, a new page will turn. And we saw that on the 21st, the president started.
You did say that before. You said that beforehand. You did.
I tell people I'm a time traveler. No one listens. So I predictive analytics. So I knew that things were coming right now up until right after Labor Day. We will be on a roller coaster. On a roller coaster. You know, you're going to be like, yay, and then whoa, and then yay, and then whoa.
Moves and counter moves, basically, yeah, right?
Yeah. Between September and the elections. It's going to be insane. Blood is likely to spill in some of these Democrat places because they have funded this to happen. So it is really, really scary to the extreme end of what can happen. But you're going to remember the 5th of November. That is where it's going to change, because last week was historical and nobody paid attention. President Trump's speech on, was it Thursday, where he was smirking? Yeah, things, we're going to do stuff that no one knew, and we're going to do DACA, and everyone complained. Nah, nah, nah. And his EO was like, yeah, DACA's not on the census. That's the kind of DACA he was talking about. So what people need to do is be patient, understand that this is way bigger than they can understand. And that this man has achieved all this. You know, imagine, he's waking up every morning saying, can I drink from that cup? That's how bad it is.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people are like, they're going to take him out. I'm going to tell you right now, if they weren't able to take him out up until August of 2018, they're never going to take him out, because it's done. They had the opportunity.
Why August? Why August of 18? August 18. Why?
That's when he had the really, really close up, you know. You'll find out. You'll see. I shouldn't see some, as a journalist, right? We always want to break the story and break it and whatever.
Right.
But it's sometimes it's better in the interest of national security not to.
Right.
You know, to not drop it. And
okay.
Space Force is gonna play a big role in this too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So I'm very, very patient. I realize the full mag, and I mentioned, you know, the Ukraine and Epstein and all that, because the sheer magnitude of the stuff that's been going, we're so corrupted. I just can't. I mean, obviously, this guy's on a mission from God. There's no doubt about it. I don't know of anybody. Shoot, I can barely even keep up with two daily shows. This guy's running this the world's largest investigation. You think all these other countries have been cooperating with him? When Barr and Durham went to visit all these other countries, is it that big? Do you believe?
Well, the only meetings that are very important are the ones that happen in Malta. So that's the most important one. And, you know, for you guys that are into like the digging, maybe you should look into, we always talk about Epstein Island. Maybe you should look into the Nordic Islands by Finland. That'll tickle your fancy, because then you'll see just how global this is. People aren't getting all the information because the media is congesting it.
Right.
And, you know, they're gaslighting you. Comey's not tweeting, you guys. That's not Comey tweeting. Brendan doesn't even tweet, right? He doesn't. And this hack from Twitter, do you think that they're going to be DMing from their like accounts? No, we needed to find out device IDs. That's what it was. But here's the thing. We didn't hack it. Twitter hacked themselves, so they could delete the device IDs and say, oh, we lost that information. It was hacked. Because they were getting criminal subpoenas. Because through a device ID, I can open up your camera, listen to what you're doing, and find out who and what has been tweeting for you. So they're gaslighting you. Schiff was gaslighting everyone. Pelosi was gaslighting. He's not going to be president. We're going to take him out. We're going to do an inauguration. It's like, girl, take a seat. You lost that. Boom. So just like someone mentioned in the room, Operation Gridlock. They're congesting any news we see from our feeds, because there's people like, follow me on Twitter, follow back. You know, that's a hack, right? That's a reality hack. That's an operation we actually deployed in another form, not Twitter, in Afghanistan. So we can block the information so they can't see it.
IIA, right?
Yeah, it's an IIA. So not only is it a block of information that they're shadow banning, but then you have all these other people that are inserting themselves doing, follow this train, get them to 5,000, follow back. And you don't see the news. How are you going to read 10,000 tweets of 10,000 people you follow in a day? Like, what are you? I don't care how fast you read. That's impossible.
It's impossible.
So,
all right. I've got one area that is not talked about a lot, but I was covering it when he was speaking out. I was listening to his very coded, cryptic language. Patrick Byrne from Overstock. What will come of that situation where he actually went to Barr and Durham? Do you know anything about what Patrick Byrne may have uncovered?
I mean, how do you think Wayfair was uncovered? Do you think someone just stumbled on it, or someone pretended to stumble on it, or someone, you know, when I want people to write stories all these years, I would drop it on websites that I knew someone was looking. So what do you think he did? I mean, do you think that it was just Wayfair, just Walmart, just Amazon?
Whoa.
So So if you look, it's everywhere. And now we have the media colluding with social media saying anybody who's talking about that, Wayfair told us it's not true. Yeah, because Wayfair is going to say, oh, shoot, got us now. We're totally selling children that have been kidnapped and coincidentally their name's on there. Yeah, we're busted. They're going to tell you. They're not going to tell you. I mean, this is ridiculous. Wayfair said it's false. So
okay,
did you investigate?
This big, I referred to the deep state. Then I said, no, there's a super state. These are the globalists trying to take us over. And now I'm saying that there's a monster state. And a monster state that is controlling. This is my perception. You can correct me. I want to hear from you. I want you to answer this. The monster state is protective of their gun running, their sex trafficking, and their human trafficking and drug trafficking. Isn't that what the monster state is trying to protect globally? What's this thing all about?
So there's a fourth unelected branch of government within the United States. They're what you would call Praetorians. And those are tasked to protect the ruler, not the people. And so I want you to think back to 2006, where ICE had conducted an investigation. And they had over 5,000 names of Pentagon and military officials that were involved in child trafficking and child pornography, drug trafficking and gun running. You never heard about it again. So I want people to understand that when you realize just how boxed in our president was at that White House from the day he swore in up until the end of the summer of 2018. I mean, he still has Nathan Kroeger sitting right next to him in the White House. And I'm like, how is he still in the White House? I'm calling his name out. That clown was part of Obama's transition team. He was Ben Rhodes's handkerchief when he was blowing his nose crying. Why is he there? He's still there. He's the one leaking information. They have an Iranian florist that is in every single room when she puts flower that tells everybody everything. There's so much going on. But again, this fourth unelected branch of government knows better, and they serve a bigger global syndicate. And Nigel Farage had once mentioned them. He said it in European Parliament. He's like, why are we here voting? We're not going to make the decision. There's people that we don't know, we didn't elect, we don't even know their names or what they look like,
right,
that make decisions for us. That's exactly who this fourth unelected branch of government reports to. That's how big it is.
And is President Trump going to take them down, do you believe?
He already has. Can you see the panic? I mean, sometimes when I see them complaining,
yes, I love that.
It's like demons screeching and clawing at your ankles. And I'm like,
they're so desperate. I mean, they're flailing. So this election, they're going to deploy every single asset. They're doing election meddling with Silicon Valley. The mainstream media is on their side. We've got the, how is this election ever going to be a free and fair election? It can't be. And that's why I say, are we even going to have an election? Obviously, we got moves and counter moves preparing for November 3rd. What do you think is going to happen on November 3rd?
So we're going to see right after the RNC, because there's a couple of things in play that, are fixed points in time. So the most horrific one is that President Trump wins and they get upset because they say that, you know, ballots were wrong. So they're going to start doing the whole ballot thing and people didn't go because they were scared or they were sick or whatever. And then there's going to be blood spill. The other alternative is that people are actually going to social distance. You know, we got to play this game up until November 5th. And they're going to social distance and they're going to go vote in person. And the Democrats can't do anything. That's the most benign scenario. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a range from the benign to the extreme right there. Mm-hmm. And this is why President Trump is like, yeah, you should wear a mask if you can't social distance. I don't know. You should read an article I have on Tory Says where I said the best thing President Trump can do is not make a decision at all in regards to shutting down the country, masks. You'll see it. He's doing exactly that. That tells you exactly that that's the perfect strategy. I mean, my job was to strategize to, insurge in other nations. I invented freaking ShadowNet before ShadowNet was a computer, right? So I'm telling you that is what he's doing, because people need to see just how important their freaking vote is, man. Because people are voting for mayors and everybody, and they're not paying attention. And so this is going to let people see really what's up, you know, really what's up, how it goes, how it happens, you know. You see that article that you just scrolled through with Amy Klobuchar with teeth? You know this whole CARES Act?
Yes.
Do you know what they slipped in there? To harvest our blood.
It's crazy.
To promote it.
Yeah plasma.
Plasma. Yeah, it's freaking crazy. It's liquid gold, man. And the thing is, people are just sitting by and they're like, oh, it's just marketing. Dude, it's in the CARES Act. That means your governor can come in your house and pull you out if you have antibodies and suck you dry because it's an emergency. These are things that people need to be aware of. But anyway, digressing.
All right. On this final note here, as we wrap up, okay, the engine of the Death Star, is it that DNC server that you're aware that has been offshored, that is in press? What do you think is his greatest asset right now to bring this whole thing down, in your opinion?
Look, let's take the situation that hypothetically that the president didn't get the server from Ukraine, right? Let's pretend.
Which I highly doubt. Right.
There's so many.
He's already indicated.
We already have it. We're done. We're done. We're like, they're super done on this.
Right.
And, you know, I was tweeting in 2019 in March. I tweeted out a Secret Circle logo. I actually heard Schiff collude to talk about the whistleblower for the Ukraine. You know that, right? And I tweeted out about it. I was like, hey, Schiff, you're like flapping your mouth again, because he's so dumb. He's so dumb. So disgustingly dumb. So dumb. That guy is so dumb. But that dumb guy convinced us to give Ukraine $75 million. Well, a guy who's Ukrainian, $75 million to think about a blimp for surveillance. Not deliver a blimp, not, you know, give us a schematic, but just to think about it and kind of discuss it. Here's $75 million. I want someone to pay me to dream about blimps. I'm just saying. Like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, it is, but it's sad because it's our money. So,
let's pretend he doesn't have the DNC server. You were saying
other people have it.
Aha. That's what I wanted to hear.
Well, like Roger Stone said, there's an insurance policy. But the best thing about operations, I know that somebody else has it for sure because of the malware that was in it. So because the malware leaves traces and tracking, it was distributed widely. Like, Seth Rich didn't know what the heck he was doing. Just didn't
That's
know.
Hilarious.
So it just, you know, whisked out. And by the time they figured it out, because obviously the malware hit from wherever, you know, where it was parsed from their server. So we sent them on a goose chase, not like me specifically per se. I don't have any access to anything just in case. But, you know, it was like a wild hunt. Where'd it go? Oh, it hit this server. Oh, it hit that one. Oh, and, you know, where are you going to find it? It just bellies off. But, you know, in regards to Seth Rich, I wanted to say these lawsuits against Batowski, against all these journalists are simply for one thing. They are all trying to cover their butts criminally. So they're using civil lawsuits to get as much information from them as possible to protect their clients. I mean, look who's on the case. Gottlieb. That was Obama's White House counsel.
Right.
He's the clown that emailed me.
Yeah, we call it lawfare. It's like the lawsuit industrial complex that's getting as much information through discovery, right? So they can mitigate their damages. Tori, okay, listen. We're going to wrap up here on the following note. I'm going to put you on the spot here, of course. You've got so much information flowing, you need to keep going. Can I get your permission? If you during your show, you bring up something super important, I want to share your articles. Do I have your permission to share your content with my audience? We broadcast 5 hours a day.
You kidding? Of course.
Yeah,
Hello. We just need people on any platform, because this is cyber warfare. This is electronic warfare. We need to be in every single crevice right now, because they will try really hard.
And they certainly are. And I want to invite you to
to come back on. You've connected some dots for me, and I appreciate you giving me a tremendous. I said that there was a over 100% chance that this thing is gonna come down. You've now confirmed for me this is over for them. They screwed up by allowing 63 million people to vote in President Donald J. Trump. He can't be compromised, can he?
Who, the president?
Yeah.
And when you hear him about vaccines and the military going, think again. Who sends the military to deliver vaccines? Wink, wink. Come on, you were in the military, right?
Yeah, I was. United States Marine Corps.
Yeah, right. That's right. I was a squid. And I could tell you, I'm very disappointed.
Little squiddy. Yes, that's so awesome. Tori, thank you so much for coming on. We'll have you back on. Great, 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 awesome segment.
God bless everyone.
Thank you. God bless you, too. God bless the United States of America. You guys, guess what? And I didn't ask her about this, but I'm going to say this and go on the record. That woman right there, if there wasn't a better opportunity to get her wrapped up into this massive conspiracy that Durham's working on, there's no better opportunity than right now. You guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow morning, back at it. I told you this was the most important for me, one of the most important interviews that we've done. Tori, thank you so much for coming on. All right, you guys, good night. And we'll see you guys tomorrow at 9 a.m.